going on? This is the Dream It Alive show. I'm your host, Ash Kumra, co-founder of DreamItAlive.com. The Dream It Alive show is all about talking to people that have achieved their dreams and goals, becoming the best version of themselves, and inspiring us to challenge us and really see how can we be the best version of ourselves. So this episode is brought to you by DreamItAlive.com, a global community that guides you to create your dream life with visualization tools, dream boards, and helpful personal development content. Take the next step, become the next version of you. Check out DreamItAlive.com. So we all have had fears in our life. We all have had times in our life where we're afraid or we simply just don't believe in ourselves to achieve whatever the task, goal, or relationship, or conversation, or opportunity that may be in front of us. And I really thought deeply as to how could myself and others who have had fear in our lives overcome it. And after doing some research and just, you know, looking at who's the best in the field, I'm happy to say that we have, quote unquote, America's life coach, Rhonda Bryden. She has devoted her life to one thing: to teach people how to master fear, whether that's a fear of rejection or loss, fear of failure, success, fear of abandonment or pain. Rhonda's method for anyone, anywhere to master this invisible, insidious fear we all have of not being good enough. And I'm not the one here that needs to validate this. She's been validated by Oprah. She's won an Emmy. She's had a bunch of best-selling books. She's been referenced by the New York Times as America's favorite life coach by TV Guide, I'm sorry. And more importantly, she's on a mission, and a really amazing mission. And I'm really hoping that we all can overcome those fears that we sometimes have in our lives and also inspire others to get rid of their own fears. Rhonda, how are you doing today?
I am so amazingly wonderful. It's such a great time to be talking about fear, isn't it? It's just the world is so, you know, you look at the news and you look at what's out there and we can all become so inundated and so overwhelmed by everything we see. And it's such a great time to just say, okay, let's put all that fear-based behavior aside and get down to the truth of who we want to be. I love to become the next best version of you, right? Like become who you're, what I always say is become who you're born to be. So I'm with you, Ash, and I am feeling fantastic and excited to be here with you today.
That's totally awesome to hear. Why do you think it's a good time right now to overcome your fear? I know it's New Year when this interview is airing. I know we're all about achieving our resolutions. I know there's this like whole self-help kind of proliferation that's really happening in our society. But from a spiritual side, why do you think it's an important time?
Well, I mean, we've all, you know, if you're in the spiritual bent, we've all been hearing the last few years about the quickening, right? It's everywhere, like the quickening. You know, we're all being asked as spiritual beings to really kind of clean up our own acts, you know, to clean up our own acts to truly be used by God, spirit, you know, source, whatever you call it. You know, when we are not living our true nature, we actually can't be utilized in the way that we could be if we were, because it's like we're in the wrong river, like we're on the wrong mountain range. We're like not where we're supposed to be. And not that we can't be used no matter where we are, because I do believe that to be true. And we are actually going to feel like we are, quote unquote, clicked in, like we're more true to ourselves, that we're kind of living our best life when we are in our own body, in our own heart, in our own lives, and not trying to run away from it, not trying to skirt it, not trying to step away, not trying to decide, is this for me or not, but really going, yeah, this is for me, or no, this isn't for me. Because fear, what it does is it makes us confused. It makes us not trust ourselves. It causes us to doubt our decisions. And we then stay in limbo, right? We're in limbo land. You know, do I fall in love? Do I not fall in love? Am I in love? I don't know. You know, do I take the job? Do I not take the job? Do I open my business? Do I not open my business? Do I do that marketing? You know, it just keeps us in this limbo land of indecision because we don't want to make the wrong choice, right? And so it's really critical that if we really want to not only heal our own lives, but help the people that we're helping and also help the planet at the greatest way we can, we got to become fearless, period. End of story.
Okay. No, I definitely agree with that. And I agree with you. You have to always be fearless. You just have to jump into it. Got to go for it and just make things happen. I really am so happy to hear someone of your stature share that same view, because I'm a young student in this game of life, but I learn from people like you. I have a question about, developing this fearless mindset. One of the things that we're really big about at Dream Alive is really becoming grounded, finding ways to really master our own body, mind, and soul, which is why we advocate visualizing your dream board daily, which is why we talk about, telling the world about your dreams and goals, not just keeping it in. What are some habits that you do to keep you grounded, or things that you recommend to others that you might not necessarily do because you seem fairly grounded already, but what are some habits or rituals or things, and this could be as high level as meditation, visualizing, to specific foods, the specific chants you do. I really want to know what goes in the mind of Rhonda Bryden to be grounded and to help inspire others to be fearless.
Great question. I have a morning ritual and I have an evening ritual. You know, I have a sleep ritual and a wake up ritual. And I do think those overall help anchor me, because regardless of what my day is doing, I start and end my day the same, right? And I think that gives us consistency, gives us a through line, and it reminds us what's valuable to ourselves. Because again, during the day, we might get off track. We might get, go sideways to Sunday. We might get upset. All these other things are happening. But if we have that anchor every single morning, every single night, we are going to remember who we are. And really, when you're talking about anchoring, on one level, it's remembering who we are. Another thing I do is I do this thing called acknowledgments. And in the world of fearless living, acknowledgments are, today I acknowledge myself for. And you really don't just acknowledge the big things, which we're all kind of can do. Some of us, have a hard time doing it. But most of us can say, hey, I graduated from college. Or, yes, I just hit $1 million in sales. Like, we can stop and do that. But what we really suck at is the day-to-day acknowledgments of the movement forward. So I keep a daily log of my movement forward. Now, that reminds me of what matters to me. That reminds me what my focus is. And that also continuously builds my self-esteem and self-confidence. Now, the acknowledgments aren't about like, oh, I'm so great. It's more like, wow, I did this in spite of, right? Like I made movement. I made this little tiny movement. I'll give a silly example of, let's say you realize you complain 100 times a day, and you want to eliminate complaining, right? And so you're on the first day of, I'm not going to complain anymore. And so you're keeping track as a good student would. You're logging your complaints to make sure you don't do it at all. And at the end of the first day, right? At the end, you just realized you complain 100 times a day. So you're devastated, right? 100 times a day. Oh my God, you're horrible. You're a horrible person. Oh my God, you beat yourself up. That fear comes in. What are you, crazy? No wonder nothing's happening for you. So the next day, you're like, I'm determined. I'm going to not complain all day. And you recognize, oh crap, I complain 99 times. Now, most people focus on, I'm complaining still 99 times. Oh my God, I suck, right? But in the world of Rhonda Britton, the world of fearless living, what we do is go, oh my God, you only complain 99 times. That's amazing. Right? Because you made movement forward. So it's not about black or white. It's not about, are you doing it or not in that way? Like, well, you complained once, so then you screwed it up, right? No. It's like, did you get better? Did you create more space in yourself? Did you create more space in your own life? Did you create more powerful, empowering moments in your own life? So I think that's really important. And it's one of the key things that I teach my students is, if you are not acknowledging yourself on a daily basis and only acknowledge the big things, then you really never kind of gain a level of self-esteem and self-confidence to be able to give yourself permission to take the risks that you're really desiring to make. So you kind of get stuck in this, like, well, I know the right thing to do, but I don't do it. What's my problem kind of mindset?
Yeah.
So if we stop and just acknowledge our movement forward every single day, not like every single thing you accomplished, again, not that that's not great, but movement forward in the things that you're focused on, you're going to start seeing like, wow, I really can make anything happen. That's amazing. Like, I really can do this. And you start building momentum. And when momentum happens, of course, then you have more access to flow, more access to ease, more access to synchronicity, you know, more access to your intuition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the morning and evening rituals are key for me, and also the acknowledgement every single day.
I love what you just said there, especially the acknowledgement thing. I mean, every day I do this guided meditation that I found online. It's been done by this one guy, has created a scientifically proven way to kind of master your life and visualize and see it daily. And one of the things that he talks about in this meditation is spend about 2 minutes to talk about who you can be grateful for in the last 24 hours. And it's such a fun exercise, yeah, because every day I'll be grateful for certain people and some new people, and then it says expand beyond 24 hours, and that goes all the way down to like my ancestors. It's a great exercise, and I could totally relate to you when you said that. I want to take a kind of related question around things that you might have learned, because you've worked with some amazing people like Oprah, Marianne Williamson. I mean, you've been on over 600 episodes of reality TV. I mean, you've won an Emmy. You've done all these. I guess it's like, I feel like I'm your publicist right now, but you've done a lot of great things right now in your life. What are some habits and rituals or practices that you've learned from these uber successful people and experiences that you've gotten, like being on reality TV, winning an Emmy and stuff?
The first thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is to say yes. You know, you say yes even when you're not ready. You say yes. So if something comes to you and, you know, you're like, oh, my God, I wish I could do that, but I'm not ready. Or, oh, I wish, you know, how do I do that? You know, and you like want to, you know, you want to just, you know, puke. And you just, you know, like, oh, my God, I can't do that. So, you know, the wonderful thing is that when something comes to you, it is literally the universe waving its hand and going, hey, over here, you know, over here, come on over here. Look at this cool thing I've got for you. And you have an opportunity to say yes. Now, I'm going to say something that kind of goes against what I just said, because you also have to get really good at saying no. And for the people who have a really horrible time with boundaries, you might be actually needing to do the opposite, to say no. And let me go back to saying yes. My whole philosophy is the more you say yes, and you're just like, yeah, sounds great. And again, you're not committing. You're just saying, yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to know more. I have to tell you, this is what's happened for me, and it's fascinating to watch. I get asked all the time to do things. You know, oh, Rhonda, would you be in a pilot for a television show? Yes. Would you teach this course? Yes.
Would you do an interview with TrueInnerLife.com? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes. But this is the cool thing, Ash, is that when I get asked all these questions, you know, whether it's a TV or will I contribute to a book or will I do something, I have to tell you probably 80% of the time it doesn't come through, meaning the person doesn't get it together. The person never follows through. Like something happens. It's put on delay, right? There's something that's happening. And what I believe is that it's like, okay, great. I was available and willing to learn what I have to learn in order to be ready for that event. I am willing to create something, learn something, do something in order to be prepared for that event. And what the universe was doing is going, hey, would she? And like, yeah, I would. Okay, great. Well, okay, she doesn't really need to know that. Never mind. And it kind of shuts. My whole thing is I say yes to help the other person feel inspired and feel motivated. And like I said, 80% of the time, really what happens is the other person never really gets it together. But in their mind, you're like, wow, she said yes, right? And you said yes to your soul and you said yes to yourself. So I'm a big believer in saying yes. And again, you can always say no. If you're somebody who says yes and you really have no boundaries, then I want you to do the opposite and learn to say no. Because both of those are extremely valuable. To go through a period of your life where you're saying yes all the time, like if you took 30 days to say yes to everything, and the 30 days to say no to everything, I'm telling you, your life would dramatically change. One, you'd get over the fear of saying yes, and two, you'd get over the fear of saying no, and you'd start really learning what's important to you or not. You'd really, really learn what's important. Because the things you're saying no to that you really want to say yes to would be like, no! And the things that you want to say no to that you're saying yes to would be like, no! Right? So you start getting really, really clear, but you also learn your fear of saying yes and saying no. So I really invite everybody to do that exercise. It's really a powerful and empowering exercise. So that's one of the things I learned. I mean, how did I become who I am? Okay, I started one-on-one coaching. Okay, so how did I become a work? How did I start speaking and doing workshops? Well, one of my clients kept asking me to teach her employees what I was teaching her, and I said, I'm not a workshop leader. I don't speak. I don't do that. I just do one-on-one, you know. And she's like, after 3-4 weeks, she's like, Wanda, if you could, I can't. And I'm like, I'll teach you. And I couldn't teach her. And I'm like, ah. So I said, okay, fine. I'll just do it one time, you know. And then I went in front of these, like, four employees, these four, you know, little sweet little employees. And I had the time of my life. And I was like, oh, my God, you know. So that's, yes, opened up a whole new world for me. And then when I started doing that, I went, oh, my God, how am I going to get that? I got to teach public workshops. Oh, my God, how do I do that? I got to speak. Oh, my God, how do I do that? And it just keeps evolving. Well, then I started speaking and I started teaching. And then people were like, I need a book to send to my cousin. You do? Okay. You know, and so it really, those requests and those yes really allowed me to flesh out my skill set, to flesh out, you know, what it is that I really love to do and help me really hone my path.
That's amazing. And a lot of things I got from that answer. First thing, what I love about you said about, you know, embracing the power of yes is that sometimes as human beings, we might not believe in our own dream. We might have fear that it might not happen. But by you saying yes, someone with like-minded energy, someone who's like a friend of your, a common friend saying, hey, yes, let's do it. It kind of gives you subconsciously that belief saying, you know what? This can happen. I have a fan. I have a promoter. I love what you just said. And, you know, kind of a funny joke about the yes thing, too. Have you ever read or heard of the book 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss?
Sure. Yes, Tim Ferriss.
Oh, okay. So I've been rereading it lately just because he has some good work productivity tips. And one of the things he talked about with sales is it's all about just getting yeses, absolving the fact of saying no. And he uses a funny example. He says, whether you're married or whether you're single, I want you, as a guy, I want you to go find two people every day that you find attractive and just ask them for their number. Don't do anything with the number. Just ask them for the number and do it 2 times a day. Throw away the number after you get it if you have someone in your life. And the whole purpose of that exercise is you get rid of no, the power of no, it can't happen. It's just you just treat yourself to saying, you know what, I could. There's always yeses in my life. Just and get rid of your fear by just going out there and doing it. What do you feel about that? About, you know, taking, what does inspired actions mean to you?
Well, I love inspired action, and as a woman, I want to strangle Tim Ferriss right now. do not haphazardly go ask two women a day for their phone number, because those two women very well may be single women who are looking for their knight in shining armor, and you ask them for the number, that night they think about you, and then so that is devastating blow. So please don't do that exercise. Thank you, Tim Ferriss. I do believe in inspired action. I do believe in partnership, because what you said just a minute ago is really critical. You know, when you build that. Yes, you know, when somebody asks you, will you do this? And you say, you know, you say yes, it does build that inspired action and it does have that belief that this can happen. And, you know, another thing that I always do is I do things in partnership because of that. Because if I don't have it in me that day, the other person does. And if they don't have it in them, oh my God, I, Rhonda Britton, am the greatest cheerleader on the planet. You know, I can, you know, I mean, that's why I'm a great coach, right? Not only do I know how to get to the truth and not know how to help you find your core fear and know how to show you how to move beyond fear in any area of your life. And I believe in you. Like, I literally do. I, like, believe in the human spirit. I believe in humanity. I believe in the human yes. And so doing everything in partnership is an incredible, powerful exercise in moving forward in your life. So if you find yourself moving on the slow train and you're like a turtle and you want to start moving a little bit more like a rabbit, then do in partnership, because the partnership will literally start having you believe and catapult you further. So yes, do I believe in doing something every day that is out of your comfort zone? Yes. Do I believe in doing something every day to scare you? Yes. I actually want to give your listeners a free video series as a gift from me that's actually going to show them how to move in what I call their stretch, risk, and die zone. So it's at Rhonda Britton, RhondaBritton.com, RhondaBritton.com/risk, RISK. And if they go to rhondabritton.com/risk, they're going to go to a page on my website, and it's going to ask for their name and email address so I know where to send the three videos, because the three videos are literally about what you're talking about. How do you take inspired action in the face of fear? How do you get to the yes in face of fear? And, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that the reason fear wins is because we are not aware of the emotional component, the emotional connection to our actions. We forget the emotional, the feelings, the emotion that it takes in order to say that yes, in order to say that no. So what makes our decisions every day is not our thoughts, even though I know we all think it's our thoughts. It's actually our feelings. And that's study after study has shown that over and over again. So it's our feelings that make our decisions for us. So when we're doing some of the things like you're talking about, Ash, which is, you know, do the vision board, when you're doing the say yes, when you're, you know, practicing connecting to another in order to help each other with accountability and belief in yourself, all of those things are supporting you in the emotional component of continuing to take that risk. So go on over to rhondabritten, rhondabritten.com/risk, R-I-S-K, and download those three videos, because I know it's going to support you. If you've got something you want to make happen in your life, I know it's going to support you in really moving forward fast. I know that to be true.
Thank you so much for that. And we'll definitely include that link in our article description when we promote this interview. That's amazing. And I got to ask you, Rhonda, you know, you're like the spaz of positivity and fearlessness. I mean, it's so authentic, your message, when I hear you talk. And I just see it how it is. I just call it out, and it's amazing.
I love it. It's
great. How did you develop this fearless mentality? What in your life happened that made you switch to this mindset?
Good question. I lived in hell for 20 years. You know, and I don't think I'm alone in that. I think we all go through our challenges, right? Our own personal hell, our own personal crises, our own personal upsets, whatever we want to call them. And mine, and I'm just going to do the short, dirty version, so I apologize for everyone listening if this is a little like, oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. But when I was 14 years old, I had the horrific experience. My parents were in the middle of divorce, and my father was coming over for Father's Day to take us out to brunch. And when my father came over to take us to brunch, he didn't take us out to our little restaurant that we rarely went to. Instead, my father took out a gun from his trunk and proceeded to shoot my mother twice, murdered my mother, and then committed suicide in front of me. And I, being the sole witness to my father murdering my mother and then committing suicide, that took me down for 20 years. I mean, for 20 years, I felt the guilt and shame of not saving my mother. I felt the guilt and shame of not stopping my father. I felt the guilt and shame of being the only witness and not doing anything dramatic and amazing to somehow psychically stop them. You know, that I was the only one left standing, you know. So on one hand, I lived, you know, I still got straight A's, I was class president, all those things after it happened. So on the outside, I was like, I'm fine. But on the inside, you know, I didn't have permission to be happy, because you're not allowed to be happy if your parents are dead. And you definitely can't be happy and successful if your parents are murdered and suicide. I mean, like, that's crazy talk. So for 20 years, I tried to kill myself three times. I drank alcohol. I got three DUIs. I had a stint in jail. I mean, I really was fighting the demons of fear. Really, I was fighting the demons of fear. And you know, during that time, I was going to therapy, I was going to workshops, reading books, feeling inspired, but nothing really shifted my opinion of myself. Yeah, I'd go to a workshop and I'd be like, yes, you know, tell me to love myself. I'd be like, awesome, you know. But when I left that workshop, or I read that book, quit reading that book, or I got done with therapy, I was left with this huge void of how. You know, and also, like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't this, like, you can do it. You know, positive thinking, as I say, positive thinking is a great skill to have, but it's not a way of life, because positive thinking can actually take away your right to feel. And so I basically took away my right to feel, and then I would dump in the, you know, the hell of despair. And so it was at the 20th anniversary of my parents' death where, you know, I made a lot of choices during that last year before the anniversary of the 20th year of their passing. And one of the things I did is after my third suicide attempt, I realized I wasn't good at killing myself and I got to figure this out because I'm not dying. I got to figure out how to live. And so the acknowledgement exercise I shared a minute ago is the first exercise I created on my own, you know, almost, you know, 25 years ago, and just did it with some gold stars and a calendar in my room to try to determine if I had any worth and any goodness in me, because I didn't know if I was even worth saving, you know. So for me, what happened is I tried everything. I read the books. I took the workshops. I went to therapy. I did all that stuff. But it wasn't until I built and discovered and understood how fear worked that made me become who I am today. Because once I understood that fear is a mechanism, it's just a biological, it's a biochemical process in our bodies, and that fear doesn't know the difference between your emotional fear and a physical fear. It doesn't know the difference between the past and the future. It doesn't know the difference. The brain doesn't know the difference between your ancestors' fears and your fears. And so until I started really understand the neuroscience behind fear and then the practical application on a human level of how fear really works in our everyday life, I couldn't get on with my life. You know, like I would have spurts of success. I mean, like I said, I was still class president. I got a full ride to college. But then I would eventually find my hell again. So building my relationship with fear, understanding fear, really becoming an ally with fear. Like fear is one of my greatest assets. To really no longer run from it, but really embrace it, that is why I am the way I am today and why I do what I do today. Because I believe that we can white-knuckle it. You know, we can try to willpower it. You know, we can do all the things that we know are the quote-unquote right things that we hear. Are there, oh, you should do this. Oh, you should do that. Oh, you should do this. But if you're white-knuckling it, if you're using willpower, if you find yourself spurting out, like you can only, you know, be positive for so long, right? Or you can only keep going for so long, and then you find yourself collapsing, it's because you really don't have the capacity to continue for long term, because you're trying to, again, white knuckle it. You're trying to do the right thing using your willpower, not really the essence of who you really are, because fear is tricking you and trapping you, because fear is invisible, it's insidious, and it's way smarter than any of us. So you know, again, building relationship with fear, that has set me free. Because I know there's nothing wrong with me. It's just fear. I'm not a procrastinator. Fear wants me to procrastinate. I'm not a complainer. Fear wants me to complain to keep me small. I'm not a perfectionist. Fear wants me to be a perfectionist because, you know, I only worry because I have fear. I only get overwhelmed because I have fear. I only doubt because I have fear. So once I started recognizing that fear was at the crux, was at the core of it all, is when I really changed my life, is when I became who you see today.
I really appreciate you sharing that part of your life, and thank you for sharing that journey. I truly mean that. When I heard that story, there was a lot of things that I can relate to. And one of the things that you had said that I really could relate to is kind of seeing things for what they are, not getting so attached to the outcome, just throwing yourself out there. You know, I've been doing a lot of spiritual reading as of late, and this one teacher that I've been following, he talked about this yesterday when I heard him speak, and he was saying that, you know, to be truly Zen, it isn't about, you know, being still and just being mindful. It's about not learning to master your emotion, like not just not going high, not going down, you know, just being in a steady state. The deal happens, fantastic. The deal doesn't happen, cool, move on. It's just like this, because as long as you give every action your 100%, you give your authentic soul into it, it doesn't matter what the outcome is. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. If you focus on, you know, it kind of goes against all the, you know, the goal setting stuff is, you know, don't focus on the results, because there's real truth to that. You know, God never tells you, like when God says to me, oh, Rhonda, write a book, God never says, because you're going to become a New York Times bestseller, right? God doesn't tell you, oh, open your business. Oh, by the way, it's going to make you a millionaire. God never, ever tells you the results. God only tells you the next step. So, you know, we make up what it means. We're the ones that make up the meaning. We're the ones that tell ourselves the story. We're the ones that have been thinking about writing a book, and then when we get the sign, we go, see, it's because I'm going to be a man. It's going to be the difference in my career. You know, maybe, maybe not. It's actually not the point. You know, you're not looking for the answer to your problem. You're looking to live the life your soul intended. If you're constantly looking to solve a problem, so you're always in desperation, then you're not using the real asset of who you really are. You're not really using your whole self. So,
right.
So it is about becoming, having a relationship with your emotional life and not demonizing any of it, not putting any of it down, not shaming any of it, but just go, that's why positive thinking is a great skill. You know, I can reframe anything. Trust me, I'm the queen of reframing and the queen of positive thinking.
Yeah.
And I also know how to feel sad, and I also allow myself to grieve, and I also allow myself to be angry. Right. So the feelings in of themselves, I always say, who is the master? Is the master of that feeling fear? I.e., so you have a feeling of anger or sadness and fear is in charge, so it, you know, it magnifies it, it, you know, demonizes it, or is it that you're having those emotions in freedom, like you're sad because you just lost something that's important to you, and you feel the heart opening up because that sadness opens your heart up. Bad or good, it's just what is, you know. You know, and there's studies been done that show that you only have feelings for approximately, I think it's want to say, I can't remember the exact number. Let's say it's 72 seconds. It's a really like right around a minute, and I might have the number incorrect, but it's right about 65 seconds, okay? Right about a minute, you have a feeling. If you don't do anything about it, if you don't attach meaning to it, don't tell any stories about it, that's as long as it lasts. But what happens is we feel sad for more than a minute because we go, I'm sad, there's something wrong with being sad. Or, oh, I'm now going to think of every sad thing that ever happened. Or, yeah, oh, yeah, let me rethink about how he broke my heart. Oh, yeah, let me think about how, what a crappy person I am because I lost that job, you know? So we continue the story, and it continues the feeling. If we quit the story, we can get back into our true nature, back into the flow of our own river, and start living a life that's true to us in every moment.
Okay. I love that. And so many things come to my mind when I heard you just talk about that whole story. And of course, mastering your fear, which seems to be the mantra for this whole interview, and it's something that you're about, is definitely the prevalent term there. Let's dive into that for this last part of the interview. Tell us more about your program and who is the best person to pursue your program.
That's a great question. You know, like I said, I've devoted my life to helping people master fear because that's what I had to do. And I do believe that fear is insidious. It's invisible. It's tricky. And it knows everything we know. So it's as smart as you are, as spiritual as you are, as educated as you are. So the more spiritual you are, the more spiritual your fear gets, you know. And, I mean, we all know spiritual people that we would be like, oh, they're total fear-based. But they think they're like, I'm so spiritual. You know, we all know people who meditate an hour a day who are not nice people, you know. And we all know people who are really highly educated that can't get themselves out of a paper bag, right? So having
yeah.
education, right, having education or a spiritual foundation or just, you know, great upbringing and knowledge, those are all great assets. But unless you do them in service to freedom, they are going to be used for fear. They are going to, you know, you are going to, your logic is going to be used against you. Your spirituality is going to be used against you. So, you know, I believe fundamentally that everyone has a core fear, that you, Ash, have one core fear that really creates all your other fears, and I have one core fear, and, you know, Sally has one core fear, and, you know, Genevieve has one core fear, and my work is all about helping you identify that one core fear, and then what's how that one core fear responds in your life, how it activates in your life. Well, you know, what are the fear responses? Because most people come to coaching, and they come to me because of fear responses. You know, the fear response of I'm a procrastinator, the fear response of, you know, I don't trust myself, the fear response of I feel like I'm a hamster on a treadmill, the fear response of, I'm a perfectionist, the fear response of, I do great for a certain period of time, and then I fall off the wagon, and then I do great for a certain period of time, I'm amazing, I get stuff done, and then I quit, you know. So, you know, if you're somebody who has experienced being stuck in your life, has experienced the question of why is this happening to me? Why can't I get this done? You know, you've used a lot of tools in the past. You know, you've read books, you've gone to workshops, you know, you do your visualization board, and your life still isn't where you want it to be, or, you know, it's tough to do that every day, or you find yourself putting yourself down and, you know, beating yourself up, then you are actually the perfect person because you're ready. You're ready. You've done the work. You know what it takes. You're ready to go to the next step of real self-actualization and self-mastery. And that's really the Fearless Living Training Program. Fearless Living Training Program really is about not only identifying your core fear, but it's also about identifying your core freedom and the key to unlock all of you. Because there's a part of you that you've hidden away for years, for decades, because it's not safe to show it. And so when you're in an environment and you don't feel seen or you don't feel supported or you don't feel respected, that part of you is part of the reason that's happening is because you don't have access to a particular part of yourself that you need in order to stand true to yourself. And so I have something that I've created called the Wheel of Fear, and then I have something I've developed called the Wheel of Freedom. And the Wheel of Freedom has that essential part of you that's been missing for you, that you feel like why is there something wrong with me? Why can't I get this? It's just that little piece of you that you haven't had access to because you've hid it away. I'm going to kind of show you what that is. I'm actually going to give you access to the wholeness of who you are. And then your Wheel of Fear, I'm going to show you how fear plays havoc in your life and what to do about it. And, you know, it is my work. It's the love that I, you know, it's the love why I was made. It's my mission. And I'm going to explain to you how fear works. I'm going to explain to you how to create a support team, you know, who are fear junkies, who are fear busters, you know, how to move into forgiveness, how to let go, how to release. I mean, it is a comprehensive program that you are going to be like, wow. I mean, after the first video, even after the first video, I get emails. I had one client email me after the first video who said, you know, I've never really gotten along with my sister. You know, my sister is one of those negative people, and I just don't really get along with her. And I watched the first video of the first module because it's 20 hours of videos. It's a comprehensive program. It is not like a shallow, you know, quick fix. It is literally going to really recalibrate your life. And she said, the first module, first video, she goes, I only watched one video. She goes, and then I went and spent a weekend with my sister. She goes, oh, my God, my sister completely changed. And, of course, wow. Her sister didn't change. She changed, right? Because she saw her sister differently. She saw the innocence in her sister. She saw the fear. And that's one of the cool things is not only do you see your fear, you start seeing everybody else's fear. And you also have this great compassion. So parents always ask me, is this going to help me with my children? Yes. You know, employers ask me, is this going to help me with my employees? Yes. It's going to help you with your boss? Yes. You're going to understand how they operate so that you can better relate to them as a human being in the work environment, in the personal environment, so you can start having better relationships. So it's going to give you an answer to who you are and why you do what you do. It's going to get really clear. And it's also going to expand your ability to reach out to others and get support and be supported.
That's amazing, Rhonda. And, you know, as we wind down with this interview, first off, I love what you're saying about this program. I'm definitely going to recommend this to all my friends. I truly mean that. It's such a beautiful thing that you're doing. And if I could ask you to just conclude this interview, how would you, what advice would you give the 21-year-old version of yourself, you know, that person who just became an adult, someone who's just getting their life started, someone who's like, yeah, I have some fears, but I don't know what to do. I want to change. I want to become my best self, but I quite don't get it. What would you say to that younger version of yourself?
I would say this, that there is nothing wrong with you, sweet Rhonda and sweet Ash. It's just fear. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not lazy. You're not stupid. You're not selfish. You're not incompetent. You're not inadequate. You're not worthless. You're none of those things. That's just a story you've told yourself, what fear's told you in order to keep you stuck and small, in order to keep you safe. Because remember, fear just wants to keep you safe. So if you know that fear's only job is to keep you safe, because it loves you, that's why it's doing it. It loves you and it wants to keep you safe because it loves you. If you know that, that will give you the momentum, the courage, the wherewithal to go, okay, but I don't want fear to win today. I want to decide because fear is not who you are. It is a protective mechanism on top of you, over you, covering you. It is not who you are. So the next time that you're wondering, should you or shouldn't you, build those acknowledgments up. And I'll give you a quick little test to determine if that intuitive hit is fear or freedom. The intuitive hit, you can call it God, source. I call it the wheel of freedom. You know, again, it's all the same to me, intuition, God, source, beloved. Whatever you call it, it is, again, the same exact thing to me. When your intuition is telling you to do something, there's one distinct difference between when your fear is telling you to do it. Your intuition is telling you to do it. It does not, quote unquote, shame you afterwards. So, okay. For instance, let's say that, you know, you have a thought like, should I do this partnership with Sally, you know? And you hear the answer, no, right? Now, a lot of people that don't understand fear actually think of no as fear, and yes, it's not actually true. But also the fallacy about fear is they think, well, fear is going to give you an expansive, freedom is going to give you an expansive quality, and fear is going to make it restrictive. Trust me, some of the most fearless things I've done in my life have been feeling very restrictive. So those two qualities are actually very, I don't hate to use the word shallow, but for lack of another word in my vocabulary right now, it's a very shallow way. It's very beginner-minded about fear, and it's actually going to get you in trouble. When you say, do I want to do this partnership with Sally, and you hear a no, fear will tell you no because. No because you can't do it. No, you can't trust Sally. No because, you know, you're going to fail. No because there's always a quality and a story of shame attached to it. If it's no from your intuition says something like this, not a good idea right now. And then it doesn't say anything else. There's no story. There's no meaning. There's no reason why. It just says yes or no. Intuition just says yes or no. It doesn't tell you, it doesn't give you a novel about why.
Yeah.
Fear absolutely gives you a novel about why. So I would want my 21-year-old self to know that shame is a vehicle of fear. Shame is a quality that fear uses to keep you stuck and small. So the antidote to that, of course, is to self-accept and innocence and forgiveness and self-appreciation and self-love. When you do that, then you can truly do anything.
Wow, just soaking that all in. That was some sage advice, and thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, on behalf of DreamAlive.com, on behalf of all the people that are going to be hearing this interview, truly mean it. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for making the world be a better place. It's so awesome that you're helping people become the best version of themselves. And I look forward to connecting to you again very soon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ash. I really appreciate it. And I love what you're doing as well. Such beautiful work. I went over there and just soaked it up. So loved it. Thank you so much for following your dream and your path and your nudging of God, Spirit, Source.
Take care.
And be fearless. Keep doing it.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye.